Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On King of OX.
Happy Monday evening. It is late night with Hancock and Kelly. I'm Michael Kelly. Who is that over there with me?
I don't know. There's a five-hour energy drink in the trash can over here.
And that was Paulie.
It's not mine.
He probably has to get himself all juiced up before he goes in.
You know, well, he does a lot of talking, that guy.
Paulie and Kevin Wheeler are two people that can sit in a room by themselves for 2 hours.
And talk.
And just talk.
I could do that.
To talk to nobody?
Yeah.
For 2 hours?
I've been doing that my whole life.
Really?
Nobody has listened to me at home for the last 35 years.
I understand that. I can appreciate that because I know that. But to not have anybody to interact with for 2 hours just to sit there and talk, you think you could do that?
I have deep thoughts, buddy.
Yeah.
So I get the deep thoughts going and I start sharing them with the people out there.
Here's my deep thought. Apparently, if we go to KMOX.com, we can apply for this universal income.
Oh.
$500 here in the city of St. Louis.
Every month?
Once a month.
Oh, $500.
I don't know. Don't you think this is, is this not ultimately a recipe for absolute disaster?
Well, there's a technical term for it. I was almost a political scientist, a PhD.
Uh-huh.
I got almost all the way to my PhD.
And Dr. Hancock.
I was almost Dr. Hancock. Ooh. And there is a technical term for this kind of policy.
What is it?
Stupid. it's just stupid. Well, and they're going to have a lottery system, I guess.
I don't know.
So here you got the poor people out there.
Well, hopefully that is who they're targeting.
Yeah, hopefully. Who knows?
And apparently you have to have a child inside the city school districts, et cetera, et cetera. My whole issue with all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Is these people have proven through proof of concept time and time again that they cannot solve the basic government services they're supposed to be doing.
How about picking up the trash?
Yes, yet they keep coming up with ideas on how they're going to solve every other problem in the world except the ones they're tasked with doing.
Let's put enough people in the 911 call center to answer the phone, for example. There's a good idea.
Well, speaking of people who can't get their jobs right, how about your party up in Washington, D.C., dude? Yeah. I mean, we're in week three and not having a Speaker of the House. Like, y'all know that you're in charge, right?
Yeah.
And like, all you got to do is just pick one person and say, hey, you're going to be the Speaker, and everybody will do what he wants or she wants.
Well, the problem is, one of the problems is that the whole caucus is fractured. There's a ton of resentment, and a lot of it directed at Matt Gaetz, who brought us here by filing the motion to vacate, getting rid of Kevin McCarthy, who, whatever you may think of Kevin McCarthy, he was keeping the House running. He made the deal with the Democrats to keep the government open for another, 5 weeks, right. 6 weeks, whatever. He was doing the job of Speaker of the House, and along comes this Matt Gaetz from Florida, who really his only interest is being somebody.
Breaking things.
He wants to be, the guy. And so he brings this motion to vacate the Speaker. He gets 7 Republicans to join with him. All the Democrats joined with him. I don't blame the Democrats.
They're doing their job.
That's what the opposition party does.
Yeah.
And here we are, 3 weeks in. Now you've got 9 people putting their hat in the ring for Speaker. And, they're either going to solve this problem this week, and I think they may, who knows, but they're either going to solve it this week, or the only option left on the table is to cut a deal with the Democrats and elect a Speaker.
Right. And that means that you're not going to get a true, right of center person.
Well, you're not going to get a far right person.
Yeah.
But you can certainly have a conservative, and you can certainly have an institutionalist and somebody that, wants to make the system work. And that wouldn't be, in my opinion, the worst thing that could happen. But
Mitt Romney leave the Senate and go over and be the Speaker of the House?
Look, here's the other thing. These fringe people, whether they're Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, or Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, I mean, they are small in number, but they are large in exposure. there are well over 150 Republican lawmakers that are serious, who care about the institution, who want to govern the country. It's the vast majority of the conference, but you never hear from them. And the Democrats the same way. They've got a ton of members who really want to make things work. And that group, which comprises probably 350 of the 435 members.
Right.
That group, you know, I could see coming together and figuring this out. But the Republicans are going to have one more shot to do it internally, get behind a speaker. And if they can't, then that's where we'll be.
Let's not forget, the Republicans are in the best spot they'll be in terms of as we slide into an election season. It's good to be the party out of power.
Yes.
When the president is not popular.
And he is very unpopular.
But at the same time, the whole argument you make when you're out of power is, see, look at what these folks have been
right.
doing.
Yeah.
We're the rational adults who can come in and right the ship. Except when you don't have somebody steering the ship, what case do you make to the voters?
Yeah, I mean, and this is a very precarious position right now for Republicans. Now, I will say, if they figure it out, if they kind of get this thing figured out next week and they get the Congress back up and running and they support Israel and hopefully Ukraine, and then they avert a government shutdown. If those things happen over the course of the next 4 weeks, then this will largely be forgotten by the time Election Day rolls around.
True.
And the underlying conditions of Joe Biden's unpopularity will still be there. But every indication we have says that it's going to be a rematch of 2020 between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, which is the one recipe for Republicans that actually could blow up and result in losing power, reelecting Biden, potentially losing the House, not taking control of the Senate. And Donald Trump's the one item on the agenda that could potentially make all of those things happen.
Right. And then the whole vacating the speaker's chair, the way they were able to do it with just one member.
One member.
When you can't elect a speaker, you can't even change the rules. So whoever comes into that job has that same, you know, gavel, if you will,
yeah.
over the top
and
of their head.
What, November 17th is the shutdown date.
Right.
And so whomever is speaker is going to be charged with averting that catastrophe. And if they avert that catastrophe with a bipartisan group, which Kevin McCarthy just did, there's a reasonable chance that that speaker will be kicked out again. And here we'll be again. And it's just a... you know, historically, we've never seen anything like this.
You think
like
it gets
this.
Done tomorrow? I don't.
I don't think it gets done tomorrow. I think it could get done this week. But it's going to have to, a lot of people are going to have to, you know, suck it up and go out and vote for whoever.
And
you got nine
candidates. The consensus candidate's going to wind up being somebody that none of us have really ever heard of. Right? This isn't going to be like...
I hope.
Yeah, that it's not...
I hope it's somebody we've never heard of, right. Because the people we've heard of are not going to be any great shakes.
Help me out with Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
So he gets thrown out on his ear.
Yeah.
He has very good reason to be frustrated, upset. I mean, he did help orchestrate in the midst of Donald Trump telling everybody to go out and not participate in the primary or not participate in the election.
Right.
He did turn the House over for the Republicans.
Barely.
But he did it. And fair, you know, he's in better spot than McConnell is. And so here he goes now. He's there. He's raised all this money. Why would you even want to stick around? And, you know, he's up there nominating Jim Jordan. He's up there being a part of it. I think he looks foolish. I'd almost go hide in the other room and just say, see what these clowns did to all of us?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to put myself in his shoes on a thing like this. He's a guy that's, you know, he built the career to become speaker. I mean, he did all the things
right.
historically, traditionally that you do to become speaker. He forged coalitions across the aisle. He helped elevate his fellow Republicans in their efforts to pass legislation. He was helpful. He was a very good fundraiser. He put money into the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee that helped elect Republicans and helped take the majority. He did everything that historically one should do if one wanted to be speaker. I mean, you worked with Dick Gephardt, very right. similar path for his trajectory to become the Democrat leader. And here he's out. I mean, politics is, it's just become something altogether unlike anything we've ever experienced before.
Hey, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll talk to our NFL insider straight from
what
Windy
a week.
City in Chicago.
What a week
so much
in the
to
NFL.
Talk about. Boy, everybody's been beat at least once. A lot of the favorites went down. He'll have lots to say after this on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome to the National Football League, where we have the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Football, America's sport. And joining us now, our NFL insider from Chicago, Illinois, John Hancock. How are you, John?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. How are you?
What a week we've had. What a weekend we've had in the NFL. So many places to start, so many upsets, so many strange outcomes. Let's start right there in Chicago, Illinois. The Chicago Bears have this backup quarterback, Boger Beggar, what's his name?
Tyson Badgett.
Badgett, and he leads them to victory. What's going on in Chicago?
Yeah, Division II quarterback, undrafted free agent, backing up Justin Fields. He came out there and he didn't do anything too spectacular, but he did what he needed to do. And the Bears team was just rolling yesterday, beating the Las Vegas Raiders 30-12. It was a blowout. Their measured responses in Chicago to Badgett's performance. Not many people are calling for him to take over for Justin Fields because at the end of the day, he didn't do anything that Justin Fields doesn't do particularly. It'll be interesting to see how this kid can perform against a better team than the Raiders. But for right now, Chicago is rolling and things may be looking up.
Well, if only he were stocking shelves at a Hy-Vee, it could be a real story in the National Football League. But quite a story for the young quarterback. Couple of games that were supposed to be marquee yesterday, both fizzled. One being the Sunday night game between the Eagles and the Dolphins. Everybody expected that to be a clash of titans. That game wasn't that impressive, at least for the Dolphins.
No, it wasn't. It was a close game. The Eagles didn't really break it open until late. But the story of the game, you can find it, 10 penalties for Miami, none for Philadelphia. And it's a big benefit when you're not losing yards or giving yards away like that. And Jalen Hurts had two big turnovers in that game, and he responded both times by driving the Eagles down for a touchdown in response. Every time it got a little dicey, he stepped up. And he doesn't always look like the most impressive quarterback, but when it matters, he usually finds a way to get it done. And Jalen Hurts continuing to have an impressive season, proving that last year wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, dismal performance out of the Dolphins. I was surprised that they crumbled as badly as they did. But boy, they didn't go as bad as the Detroit Lions. They took it hard from Baltimore, didn't they?
They did. And the Ravens, I mean, they showed the league that they're still here. They still have Harbaugh at coach. They got Lamar Jackson, who's playing well, looking much better as a passer so far this year than I think some people may have expected after he got the big contract. But they certainly look like a big contender in the AFC. That's a stacked AFC, obviously, with a lot of contenders trying to dethrone the Chiefs.
So the Chiefs, the defending champs, they go to 6-1 with another victory. I've not found them to be particularly impressive this year, but they are 6-1. Is there anybody that can dethrone them?
Well, the only team that's been able to knock them off in the playoffs that is not led by Tom Brady is Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They got off to the 3-3 start coming off the bye this week. It'll be interesting to see if they can rebound, but the Bengals have a challenge in front of them. They have the Ravens that we talked about that they're trying to chase down for the AFC North crown, and they have the Steelers, a team who's quietly 4-2. Mike Tomlin has the boys playing well. The Bengals are going to have to fight just to get to the playoffs, let alone winning the division, or even I don't think they could even challenge for the one seed against Kansas City, given how weak the AFC West is. And the Chiefs haven't even played the Raiders yet. They got two more games on the schedule.
So I saw a thing today, guys, on Twitter, that I thought was really interesting. So Terry Bradshaw who was the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 1970s, won a couple of Super Bowls. You see this, Michael?
No.
So he had shoulder surgery. Do you see this, PJ? And it was during the offseason, he was having shoulder surgery, and they didn't want, the Steelers didn't want anybody to know that Terry Bradshaw was having surgery. So he checked into the hospital under an assumed name. Do you see this, John? Have we lost John?
I did not. Oh. I did not.
So the assumed name that Terry Bradshaw in the 1970s checked into the hospital to have shoulder surgery was Tom Brady.
I don't believe that.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Well, second.
I think it's Terry Bradshaw trying to make himself relevant. Oh, the old dude's getting...
Look it up. Look it up. I don't make stuff. I don't sit here and make stuff up.
No, I'm not suggesting I'm you simply did. I'm reporting. Suggesting he's an attention seeker.
Well, he didn't say it. It wasn't him that put the tweet out. But all of that is to say, Tom Brady leaves football. He leaves the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And they go get a replacement quarterback. They get off to a good start. And then yesterday, what happened to the Buccaneers yesterday, John?
Well, what happened to them was a tragedy. But unfortunately, people who know the game of football, such as myself, can tell you it was coming eventually. A couple of weeks ago, I had told you that Baker Mayfield, the former Heisman Trophy winner, was off to a good start. And I was giving him credit for that good start. However, he was starting to get cocky. The attention was on him. He was starting to talk a big game again. And what does he do whenever he opens his mouth? His foot goes right in. Baker Mayfield in a pivotal late drive. They threw an interception, giving the ball back to the Falcons. And Baker let his team down. It's a shame. It's a shame. You hate to see it. But not surprising. Not surprising. And, Michael, I know you were a big believer. You were actually talking some trash during the game, which I thought was odd, because he wasn't having a particularly strong performance.
I was simply pointing out that he's getting some attention now. I'm not talking trash. I think the guy's a fraud too.
Well, there you go.
Well, how about
it read as pro Baker propaganda?
I was just forwarding on a tweet to you, my friend. Hey, speaking of Tom Brady. The Buffalo Bills made the Patriots quarterback look like Tom Brady the other day, didn't they?
Yeah, how about Mac Jones with the game-winning drive? I thought he was heading to the bench, but with a performance like that, he may have the rest of the season in him to prove his worth. And did you guys see that story that came out in New England that Bill Belichick apparently agreed to a secret contract extension with Robert Kraft in this past offseason? So it looks like Belichick's going to be in New England. A lot of rumors that he may be asked to resign, but it looks like that will not be the case.
Well, he got his 300th win. That's rarefied air for an NFL coach. He's clearly a historic figure in the sport. Going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. So, but he's got to prove that he can put a team on the field that's going to play modern football. And I just haven't seen it yet. But let's go to the other side of that game, the Buffalo Bills. So here's a team with all the hype, lots of talent, one of the premier quarterbacks in the league in Josh Allen, and they've looked great, and they've looked horrible this year, seemingly week to week to week. What's up with the Bills?
Yeah, so that's kind of always been Josh Allen's MO. He gets hot, and he looks like he's the best quarterback. You could even make an argument at his best that he's better than Mahomes, but he'll have these letdown spots far too often that you'd like to see from a franchise quarterback, where he doesn't look like the same guy at all. He's careless with the football, and he's not looking like a video game quarterback putting up insane stats on the ground and in the air. They've been through the same song and dance the past few seasons, and I think for the Bills, it's if they can get hot at the right time in the playoffs, absolutely they're a Super Bowl team, but they haven't had a prolonged period of success these past few seasons.
Our NFL insider, John Hancock, joins us from Chicago, Illinois. Before we let you go, we're going to dip into college football because something special might be happening right here in the Show Me State. The Missouri Tigers, with a massive victory over South Carolina, they got a bye week coming up. They're going to see Georgia, the number one team in the country. Is this Mizzou Tiger team for real?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they are. It kind of reminds me of the 2013 season where we had a loss that we should have won to South Carolina early in the season, kind of similar to the LSU game this year. This team does look legit. Obviously, Georgia is going to be the biggest test. We're going to have to win that game to win the
East. They're a semi-pro team, fellas. We're going to get slaughtered by
them.
I don't think so.
They're not as good as they were last year. And we were their closest conference game last year.
Their tight end's out. Their star tight end's out. I mean, we've got a real shot here.
I'll be looking forward to speaking with you all after this game. Oh, Kelly, you're out there speaking for Baker Mayfield. You guys are talking about Mizzou beating Georgia? Come on.
It's going to happen. He's our sports insider.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, they have. John Hancock, a graduate of the University of Missouri, is speaking to us from Chicago, Illinois. John, thanks so much for your regular visit here on the Hancock and Kelly Late Night Show.
All right, thanks, guys. Go Tigers.
When we come back, what's trending?
Braxton Payne.
Braxton Payne joins us right after this on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On KMOX.
Hey, it's Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on a Monday evening. We'll take you all the way to 10 o'clock. You'll get the best of Glover after that. Right now, you get the King of Pain, who joins us right here. He's none other than Braxton Payne. We do a segment with him every week called What's Trending? Good evening, Mr. Payne.
Yeah, I might be Tom Brady tonight, though.
Do you believe that story? I don't believe
it. It's a true story. I'm going to Google it right now.
I Googled it. I did. When Junior was talking, I definitely Googled it. It is a true story.
Thank you.
He did check himself in. And
thank you.
1978, I think.
Yes,
is what it said,
thank you.
As Tom Brady.
Is life not amazing?
I would agree.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw over the weekend what Tom Brady was doing. He was speaking of what's trending, this is Tom Brady. He was on his $6 million yacht in Boca, on the nice pad in the front with his AirPods in, shirtless, cruising through his nice little Riviera there. So it's a rough life.
But let me ask you this: Tom Brady, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Don't you think when he watches what's going on with Taylor Swift and all this talk, in the NFL about all these teams wanting them, don't you think there's just something in them that wants to get back out there?
I think for sure that, number one, I think he really does want to get back in the NFL. But the thing is he is still relevant. So a lot of players, when they retire, they become irrelevant. And he is still relevant, and everyone is obviously still talking about him. He's on the front page of TMZ all the time. I think he's one of the most important people, in this country, if you look online, because, everyone wants to be Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, he's a good-looking dude. There's no doubt about that. And speaking of relevant,
I'm a good-looking dude. Nobody's talking about me.
Yeah, well, that ought to tell you that at least you don't have any self-esteem issues over there. Hey, one of the things that's very relevant in St. Louis is the soccer team, Braxton. I know you were one of the biggest proponents of soccer here in St. Louis. It's been quite an unbelievable season. Help me out with what's going on. We're headed to the playoffs. Do we get a bye or anything because we were the best in the West, or what's the story?
So one of the things is when the season first started, all the predictions said that we're going to win three total games, finish last place in the Western Conference, and we ended up finishing first place in the Western Conference. And we don't really have a bye, but there is a play-in game. So there is a wild card game between the two teams that are eighth and ninth in the league, which is the San Jose Earthquakes and the Kansas City, Sporting KC, which is in Kansas, not in Kansas City. and so they will play on Wednesday night at 8:30. And so the winner of that game will play St. Louis City on Sunday night at a lovely time of 9 p.m. St. Louis time. Kickoff is probably going to be 9:15 p.m. St. Louis time, and that is a best of three series. So if we win that game, we still have to play either in San Jose or in Kansas City to win the series. What? And if we win that series, then it goes down.
This is very confusing.
Yeah. What do you mean a best of three series? I'm going to slow down. Go through that. So what do you mean a best of three?
You got the San Jose Sharks. And you got the Kansas City Chiefs, and they got to play each other in the soccer game?
Yeah, so they have a one game wild card. Just okay. Like
winner wins. What if it's a nil nil draw?
Oh, they'll go to penalty kicks.
And then they'll do 30 minutes of extra time, and then if it's still tied, they will go to penalty.
There's a sport where they don't even know when the game's over.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, you got. Yeah, but
you don't know when baseball's over.
Yeah, when the third out is made.
No, because sometimes it can go 18 innings.
I'm not talking about that. Yeah. It's when the third out. Here's soccer. You got 90 minutes.
No.
And you get to 89-15, and they say, oh, there's extra time. I mean, like somebody's right. Magically making up the extra time. And then they just play. Nobody knows when they get how much the extra time is. Nobody. And they're just running around kicking. Of course, it's 0-0 anyway.
The whole world thinks we're a bunch of ugly Americans.
They're running around, and then all of a sudden, the referee blows the whistle. Why? Because he's determined that the extra time has expired.
That's just... hogwash. Braxton, I'm sorry you had to put up with that. Can you go on and explain to me?
Yeah, explain the...
What's the best of three thing?
Yeah.
So if we win, obviously, best of three would be if we win two games. So we would have one game at home, one game away. If we win both of those, we make it to the next round. If we don't, then they'll come back to St. Louis, and we will play the third game. And this is new to the MLS this year. So MLS has changed their playoffs several times over the course of the last 10 years, but they will, honestly, it's for ratings and for television series, but after the first round, it is single elimination. But the good thing about St. Louis City is since we finished first place, we will have home field advantage if we make it to the next round and the following round. Now, if we make it to the final and Cincinnati makes it to the final, the final will be in Cincinnati, not here. But if anybody else besides Cincinnati makes it, we will have.
They don't like there's. I think there's a few. I think Columbus is better than us too. I think there's a couple of these teams.
Yeah, right.
But wait a minute, they don't play a neutral site championship.
Not anymore. So they used to, and the ratings weren't great, and neither was the attendance. So they changed it to a home site visit.
Huh.
So we're gonna have the teams on the pitch out there, and so the first team to come to the pitch is either gonna be the San Diego Houston or the Kansas City Royals,
San Jose Earthquakes or the Sporting KC.
Yeah. KC. Who?
We don't like Sporting KC. They're the ones that. They did something we didn't like.
Well, they're our little brother, right? It's Kansas City, and then they all claim oh, we're good at barbecue and we're good at soccer. Yeah. No, you're okay at one, and the other you're trying to claim that you're.
You know, I've never been a fan of Kansas City barbecue.
So they did. So they're actually Sporting Kansas City did sue a supporters group as they had a podcast called Soccer Capital.
That's right.
They had trademarked it. So they sued the podcast and won, and so they had to change the podcast name. So that is
okay.
Something that
we don't like them. We don't like the Kansas City
Braxton,
people.
Braxton, we just learned something here. Hancock, you don't like Kansas City barbecue. I don't either.
Yeah.
Where do you come in on this, Braxton?
So, I mean, I'm kind of partial to the Carolina barbecue sauce with vinegar in it a little bit instead of the sweet.
Carolina.
He likes the vinegar, yeah.
The Carolina. I mean, you want to talk Memphis, fine. Carolina?
Yeah, it's good.
Well, it's more the sauce. So I love a good rib. I love a good rib. I love a good brisket. Yeah. But the sauce, when it comes to, like, you know, also everyone thinks of barbecue as just, you know, the ribs and the brisket and the wings and stuff. It's all about how you cook it is the number one important thing.
Yes.
But also it's how the sauce is applied. So I like my sauce on the side. Not, you know, drenching in the sauce.
You don't like the sauce being poured over the meat as it's grilling.
I'm with you. Now, we all know here in St.
Louis. What about the rub?
Oh, pork steak is also atrocious.
Yes, it is.
I am sorry, St. Louis. I love everyone
exactly,
in St. Louis, but
Braxton,
that is just
thank
atrocious.
You. Listen, finally, someone who's coming with the courage to say something. And by the way, you talk about sauce. There's a piece of meat that you have to boil in sauce literally for at least an hour to make it even chewable.
So here's a couple of people. Here's a couple of people that have never had a good pork steak, and I feel badly for you because
pork steak, but it's still just it's just not some. I don't understand why we like it. It's thin. It's chewy.
It's thin. You've never had a thick pork steak, apparently.
It's like corned beef and cabbage. We eat it because we're supposed to, but at the end of the day, it's no good.
It's not like corned beef.
It's terrible.
No, a pork steak, Michael, done correctly, as under the tender-loving, tender being the operative word, the tender-loving care of a skilled pork steak chef is one of the most tasteful delicacies in the history of meat.
Hey, listen, why don't you invite me out sometime for one of your pork steaks?
I will.
Isn't that just like the butt of something? Like, it's not even like the good part of the meat. It's like the leftover part of the meat.
It's the worst part of the meat.
But it's a pork steak.
It's the worst part of the meat. Listen, you could eat the rib. You could eat the brisket. You could eat the tenderloin of the pork. No, we get the pork steak, which is the one that's got the, you know, all the fat, and it's impossible to chew.
Magnificent.
It's horrible.
It's magnificent. When done well, when done right. Now, people like you, Kelly, obviously don't know how to cook a pork. And maybe perhaps you as well, Braxton.
But I don't
know how to cook a pork steak.
We may have been just invited to have pork steak from a master, apparently.
Well, you know, I don't like to talk.
You got to go out west for that.
Bring Gia. She's one of our fans. You can bring Gia, and we'll introduce her to the properly prepared pork steak.
Now, Gia, she had quite a Sunday morning. She was watching the Hancock and Kelly show.
She was.
At the
what
same
a good,
time.
By the way, Gia is Braxton's daughter. She's, 8 months?
Yes.
And good head of hair. Good head of hair.
Yeah.
Kind of got Ted Koppel hair.
And then she watched the Formula One race. And then she watched some football on Sunday. She was having quite a day yesterday.
What a day.
Braxton, we just had Junior on, who is our NFL insider. Mm-hmm. And he and his dad are a little caught up in the emotions of Mizzou being, you know, really good this year at 7-1. And
working on a nightmare. Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
Hey, it's Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on a Monday evening. We'll take you all the way to 10 o'clock. You'll get the best of Glover after that. Right now, you get the King of Pain, who joins us right here. He's none other than Braxton Payne. We do a segment with him every week called What's Trending? Good evening, Mr. Payne.
Yeah, I might be Tom Brady tonight, though. So, you know.
Do you believe that story? I don't believe
it. It's a true story. I'm going to Google it right now.
I Googled it. I did. When Junior was talking, I definitely Googled it. It is a true story.
Thank you.
He did check himself in. And
thank you.
1978, I think.
Yes,
is what it said,
thank you.
As Tom Brady.
As Tom Brady. Is life not amazing?
I would agree.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw over the weekend what Tom Brady was doing. He was speaking of what's trending, this is, you know, Tom Brady. He was on his $6 million yacht in Boca on the nice pad in the front with his AirPods in, you know, shirtless, cruising through his nice little Riviera there. So it's a rough life.
But let me ask you this. So, but this guy, he, you know, Tom Brady, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Don't you think when he watches what's going on with Taylor Swift and, well, all this talk, you know, in the NFL about all these teams wanting them, don't you think there's just something in them that wants to get back out there?
I think for sure that, like, number one, I think he really does want to get back in the NFL. But the thing is he is still relevant. So a lot of players, when they retire, you know, they become irrelevant. And he is still relevant, and everyone is obviously still talking about him. He's on the front page of TMZ all the time. I think it's, you know, he's one of the most important people, you know, in this country, if you look online, because, you know, everyone wants to be Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, he's a good-looking dude. There's no doubt about that. And speaking of relevant,
I'm a good-looking dude. Nobody's talking about me.
Yeah, well, that ought to tell you that at least you don't have any self-esteem issues over there. Hey, one of the things that's very relevant in St. Louis is the soccer team, Braxton. I know you were one of the biggest proponents of soccer here in St. Louis. It's been quite an unbelievable season. Help me out with what's going on. We're headed to the playoffs. Do we get a bye or anything because we were the best in the West, or what's the story?
So, yeah. So one of the things is, like, you know, when the season first started, all the predictions said that we're going to win 3 total games, finish last place in the Western Conference. And we ended up finishing first place in the Western Conference. And we don't really have a bye, but there is a play-in game. So there is a wild card game between the two teams that are 8th and 9th in the league, which is the San Jose Earthquakes and the Kansas City well, let's Sporting KC, which is in Kansas, not in Kansas City. And so they will play on Wednesday night at 8:30. And so the winner of that game will play St. Louis City on Sunday night at a lovely time of 9 p.m. St. Louis time. Kickoff is probably going to be 9:15 p.m. St. Louis time. And that is a best of three series. So if we win that game, we still have to play either in San Jose or in Kansas City to win the series. What? And if we win that series, then it goes down.
It's very confusing.
Yeah. What do you mean a best of three series? I'm going to slow down. Go through that. So what do you mean a best of three?
You got the San Jose Sharks, and you got the Kansas City Chiefs, and they got to play each other in the soccer game?
Yeah, so they have a one-game wild card. Just like
winner wins. What if it's a nil-nil draw?
Oh, they'll go to penalty kicks.
And then they'll do 30 minutes of extra time. Extra and then time. If it's still tied, they will go to penalty
kicks. There's a sport where they don't even know when the game's over.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, you got
You don't know when baseball's over.
Yeah, when the third out is made.
No, because sometimes it can go 18 innings.
I'm not talking about that. Yeah. It's when the third out. Here's soccer. You got 90 minutes.
No.
You get to 89:15, and they say, oh, there's extra time. I mean, like somebody's right. Magically making up the extra time. And then they just play. Nobody knows when they get how much the extra time is. Nobody. And they're just running around kicking. Of course, it's 0-0 anyway.
The whole world thinks we're a bunch of ugly Americans.
They're running around, and then all of a sudden, the referee blows the whistle. Why? Because he's determined that the extra time has expired.
That's just hogwash. Braxton, I'm sorry you had to put up with that. Can you go on? Explain to me.
Yeah, explain the...
What's the best of three thing?
Yeah.
So if we win, obviously, best of three would be if we win two games. So we would have one game at home, one game away. If we win both of those, we make it to the next round. If we don't, then they'll come back to St. Louis, and we will play the third game. And this is new to the MLS this year. So MLS has changed their playoffs several times over the course of the last 10 years. But they will, honestly, it's for ratings and for television series. But after the first round, it is single elimination. But the good thing about St. Louis City is since we finished first place, we will have home field advantage if we make it to the next round and the following round. Now, if we make it to the final and Cincinnati makes it to the final, the final will be in Cincinnati, not here. But if anybody else besides Cincinnati makes it, we will have.
They don't. I think there's a few. I think Columbus is better than us too. I think there's a couple of these teams.
That's right.
But wait a minute, they don't play a neutral site championship.
Not anymore. So they used to, and the ratings weren't great, and neither was the attendance. So they changed it to a home site visit.
Huh.
So we're going to have the teams on the pitch out there, and so the first team that come to the pitch is either going to be the San Diego Houston mm-hmm. or the Kansas City Royals,
San Jose Earthquakes or Sporting KC.
Yeah.
KC. We don't like the Sporting KC. They're the ones that. They did something we didn't like.
Well, they're our little brother, right? It's Kansas City, and then they all claim "Oh, we're good at barbecue and we're good at soccer." Yeah. No, you're okay at one, and the other you're trying to claim that you're.
You know, I've never been a fan of Kansas City barbecue.
So they did. So they're actually Sporting Kansas City did sue a supporters group as they had a podcast called Soccer Capital.
That's right.
They had trademarked it. So they sued the podcast and won, and so they had to change the podcast name. So that is
okay.
Something that
we don't like them. We don't like the Kansas City
Braxton,
people.
Braxton, we just learned something here. Hancock, you don't like Kansas City barbecue. I don't either.
Yeah.
Where do you come in on this, Braxton?
So, I mean, I'm kind of partial to the Carolina barbecue sauce with
Carolina.
The vinegar in it a little bit instead of the sweet.
Carolina.
He likes the vinegar, yeah.
The Carolina. I mean, you want to talk Memphis, fine. Carolina?
Yeah, it's good.
Well, it's more the sauce. So I love a good rib. I love a good rib. I love a good brisket. Yeah. But the sauce, when it comes to, like, you know, also everyone thinks of barbecue as just, you know, the ribs and the brisket and the wings and stuff. It's all about how you cook it is the number one important thing.
Yes.
But also it's how the sauce is applied. So I like my sauce on the side. Not, you know, drenching in the sauce.
You don't like the sauce being poured over the meat as it's grilling.
I'm with you. Now, we all know here in St.
What about the rub?
Oh, pork steak is also atrocious.
Yes, it is.
I am sorry, St. Louis. I love everyone
exactly,
in St. Louis, but
Braxton,
that is just
thank
atrocious.
You. Listen, finally, someone who's coming with the courage to say something. And by the way, you talk about sauce. There's a piece of meat that you have to boil in sauce literally for at least an hour to make it even chewable.
So here's a couple of people. Here's a couple of people that have never had a good pork steak, and I feel badly for you because
pork steak, but it's still just it's just not some. I don't understand why we like it. It's thin. It's chewy.
It's thin. You've never had a thick pork steak, apparently.
It's like corned beef and cabbage. We eat it because we're supposed to, but at the end of the day, it's no good.
It's not like corned beef.
It's terrible.
No, a pork steak, Michael, done correctly. As under the tender loving, tender being the operative word, the tender loving care of a skilled pork steak chef is one of the most tasteful delicacies in the history of meat.
Hey, listen, why don't you invite me out sometime for one of your pork steaks?
I will.
Isn't that just like the butt of something? Like, it's not even like the good part of meat. It's like the leftover part of meat.
Of course, it's the worst part of the meat.
But it's a pork steak.
It's the worst part of the meat. Listen, you could eat the rib. You could eat the brisket. You could eat the tenderloin of the pork. No, we get the pork steak, which is the one that's got the, you know, all the fat, and it's impossible to chew.
Magnificent.
It's horrible.
It's magnificent. When done right. Now, people like you, Kelly, obviously don't know how to cook a pork. And maybe perhaps you as well, Braxton.
But I think
don't know how to cook a pork steak.
We may have been just invited to have pork steak from a master, apparently.
Well, you know, I don't like to talk.
Now, you gotta go out west for that.
Bring Gia. She's one of our fans. You can bring Gia, and we'll introduce her to the properly prepared pork steak.
Now, Gia, she had quite a Sunday morning. She was watching the Hancock and Kelly show.
She was.
At the
what
same
a good,
time.
By the way, Gia is Braxton's daughter. She's, 8 months?
Yes.
And good head of hair. Good head of hair. Kind of got Ted Koppel hair.
Kelly, and then she watched the Formula One race, and then she watched some football on Sunday. She was having quite a day yesterday.
What a day.
Braxton, we just had Junior on, who is our NFL insider. Mm-hmm. And he and his dad are a little caught up in the emotions of Mizzou being, you know, really good this year at 7-1. And
play
they
a
said,
little Mizzou theme.
Well, they may have a chance against Georgia. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Oh, they're going to get smoked.
Like a properly cooked
Georgia
pork steak.
This weekend playing Florida in Jacksonville, cocktail party, world's biggest cocktail party. They should. Have no problems with Florida. Then they have Mizzou at home, and Mizzou. I mean, yes, they've been playing decent, but I mean, it's no.
Turn that up, Paige.
Let them have their moment,
we're
Braxton,
all gonna...
because in 2 weeks we're going to be able to say, "Well, look who was right about this thing."
It's a good thing to be a Tiger.
As John would say, mark the tape. I will say that Georgia's going to win by 3 touchdowns.
Whoa!
Oh, come
that?
On! They won't even—they won't even score 3 touchdowns.
Who?
Georgia.
What? Oh, let's bet pork steak dinners
Luther
on this
Burden
stuff.
Luther Burden III. Have you not heard of Luther Burden III? Turn
he's
that up.
He's a great little player.
Let's get to the good part.
Let's have a wager. Let's have pork steak dinner.
There it is. There
pork
it is.
Pork steaks and bush
there it
is.
It tugs at the heart. I mean, you hear this melody, and it tugs at the heart. Turn that up, PJ. Whatever. There it is. And you're just consumed with love for that university down the road, Highway 70, with the 6 columns right there.
So Braxton says Georgia wins by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I heard him. You got the Beta House there.
The Beta House?
Yes, the Sig New House right there on College
Avenue. You act like you went there. You got kicked out, dude.
I did get kicked out, but it was...
Why do you care?
Through no fault of... Well, it was through fault of my own.
Yeah.
Turn that up, please. There it is.
He is Braxton Payne. He's the king of pain. He's kind enough to join us. We'll have something to look forward to with Braxton because he made the prediction, rightfully so, on what's going to happen to our Missouri Tigers.
MIZZOU. Yes, sir.
Brax, we'll talk to you again next week, brother.
All right, thanks, guys. Go Dogs.
Yep.
See you. Hey, we're going to step aside. We'll take you all the way to 10 o'clock. It's Hancock and Kelly Late Night. We try to start your week off right every Monday evening as Hancock and Kelly come in for Hancock and Kelly Late Night. We do a little bit of politics. We did that at the beginning, talked a little bit about the fiasco that is the speaker's race up in Washington, D.C. Lots will happen on that over the rest of this week.
We
will join you on Friday morning. Hopefully they'll have a speaker. But
we'll break it down.
I wouldn't hold my breath that these Republicans will be able to agree on anything.
Well, they are nothing if not predictable.
Yeah, it's quite a time to be a student of American politics. And you know what else it's quite a time to be?
What's that?
Owning car washes, man. Have you seen all these car washes that are popping up everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, I don't ever remember all these. So when I was younger.
You got cars.
When I first got a car.
What was your first car?
Boy, it was a Ford Escort.
Oh.
It was really small. It was a stick shift.
I bet you were looking just fine in that Ford Escort.
Oh, I was stuffed into it, and it was a stick shift.
Yeah.
And I did not know how to drive a stick shift when I got it. So my dad...
I'll tell you who drives a mean stick shift is Lauren Boebert. But anyway, go ahead.
So my dad and I... my dad and I are driving home from the used car dealership.
Yeah.
And halfway home, he's like, well, there's no time like now to learn how to drive a stick.
You had never driven a stick.
So he hops out and puts me in there, and he was so frustrated with me for the first 30 seconds because it is it's a difficult balance, right?
Well, like you got to hit
the clutch and moving the gas. You're doing it at the same time. But, you know, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. Once you get past that first 10 or 15 minutes of not knowing what you're doing, you're old hat.
Could you still do it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've had several sticks since then.
In fact, you know?
I got a Jeep when I was in my 30s.
Yeah?
Maybe right before you and I started this radio program.
Wow, kind of a...
A Jeep Wrangler.
Third life
and
crisis.
I purposely got it to be a stick shift because they were so much fun to goof around with.
Really?
Yeah.
Never driven a stick shift in my life.
What?
Never.
Buddy, you're going to Europe, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's pretty much all they have over there.
Trust me. I will not be driving.
Yeah, and in England, they drive on the wrong side of the road.
And they got the steering wheel.
With the wheels being on the right side of the road here.
Well, you know, here you got a car. And they put the steering wheel as far away from the middle of the car as they possibly can.
Yeah.
It's wrong what they've done.
So you believe the wheel...
should be in the middle.
Now, let me ask you this. So how does that work when you're taking a girl out on a date?
She's mighty close.
Which side does she get on?
Whichever side she wants, Michael.
Wait, and you have three people sitting up front, like one on each side of you?
Well, I'm not into that.
No, I don't mean just a girl. I just mean if we're all going to the movies.
Well, they do have back seats. They do have back seats in cars.
Well, so then you're going to be in the middle of the car driving PJ and I in the back seat.
Why didn't Henry Ford or whoever the heck invented the car... why did they not put the steering wheel in the middle of the car? That's where you're equidistant from the two bumpers. We'd all be better drivers if the steering wheel was in the middle of the car.
I don't know that I agree with you.
I'm telling you.
But Elon Musk, who is the world's richest man, the inventor of Tesla, he has created a semi-tractor trailer that's battery operated.
Yes.
And they put the steering wheel
in the middle of the car.
It's not a car, it's a truck.
Whatever it is, that's where the steering wheel should have been. We made this mistake 100 and some years ago, 120 years, 130 years ago, whenever it was. And we've never corrected it, and to this day, we have all these traffic accidents.
But it would be awkward, right?
People running into the side of their garage.
How would you bump into the middle? You'd have to, like, bounce into the middle of your car to get to the middle of the steering wheel?
Well, let me submit that if you can't move your fat bottom to the middle of the car, perhaps you should not be driving a motor vehicle.
All right, but you get what I'm saying. You got to, like, hop into the middle, and then... I don't know. I would think it would be awkward if the steering wheel was in the middle of the car, because then where does everybody sit?
Wherever they want.
Okay. And so wait a minute.
The only thing that matters in the car is who's driving.
If you drive me home this evening and the car's steering wheel's in the middle of the car, do I get in the back and
you're like my chauffeur?
Yeah, you're like Jeeves and you're driving me around?
Yeah, you're like Miss Daisy back
there. Uh-huh, I am Miss Daisy. Uh-huh. And then, okay, so what happens if you and George Han get in the car?
She comes right up next to me.
So she gets nice and tight.
Nibbles on my little ear while I'm driving the car down the road there.
Wow.
Staying in the middle of the lane because my steering wheel's in the middle of the car.
But don't you think this has been contemplated? Like, so many people have tried
gimmicking
things.
Apparently not.
I think they have. I think it would be really weird if they suddenly put steering wheels in the middle of the car. It really does make sense that they put it on the
left side. Just because it's always been done a certain way doesn't mean it's the best way, is all I'm saying. Well, and what I'm saying, knowing geography... as I do, or geometry is what I'm trying to say. Knowing geometry as I do, if the wheel's in the middle and you're supposed to be driving down the middle of the lane and you're equidistant from the two bumpers when you're backing up and pulling in, it would be a much easier driving experience.
Do you think you would be a better driver if your steering wheel, because you're a bad driver.
I'm a bad driver.
Yeah. Would you be a better driver if the steering wheel was in the middle?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think you'd have troubles with
no.
any of the issues you have with parking or seeing people, I don't know, to your left or right?
Let me just draw your attention to my snooker playing.
Oh, boy.
Where you get square on the cue ball, and you direct that cue ball into the pocket it's supposed to go. I do a pretty good job with that. Why? Because my face, my eyes, my stick is all in the middle of the cue ball. I rest my case. My case is rested.
That is John Hancock.
Thought we're going to talk about
Kelly.
Car washes.
We're going to step aside here. We're going to let you hear the news with Maria Kina. Then you're going to want to stick around because every Monday evening at 9:05, we do a whole segment with Maria Kina, and we've
There may not be a finer person on this planet than Maria Kina.
Definitely no finer person in the newsroom this time of night than Maria Kina. Hancock Kelly late night after this.
See ya.
We try to start your week off right every Monday evening as Hancock and Kelly come in for Hancock and Kelly Late Night. We do a little bit of politics. We did that at the beginning, talked a little bit about the fiasco that is the speaker's race up in Washington, D.C. Lots will happen on that over the rest of
this week.
We will join you on Friday morning. Hopefully they'll have a speaker. But
we'll break it down.
I wouldn't hold my breath that these Republicans will be able to agree on anything.
Well, they are nothing if not predictable.
Yeah, it's quite a time to be a student of American politics. And you know what else it's quite a time to be?
What's that?
Owning car washes, man. Have you seen all these car washes that are popping up everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, I don't ever remember all these. So when I was younger.
You got cars.
When I first got a car.
What was your first car?
Boy, it was a Ford Escort.
Oh.
It was really small. It was a stick shift.
I bet you were looking just fine in that Ford Escort.
Oh, I was stuffed into it, and it was a stick shift.
Yeah.
And I did not know how to drive a stick shift when I got it. So my dad...
I'll tell you who drives a mean stick shift is Lauren Boebert. But anyway, go ahead.
So my dad and I... my dad and I are driving home from the used car dealership.
Yeah.
And halfway home, he's like, well, there's no time like now to learn how to drive a stick.
You had never driven a stick.
So he hops out and puts me in there, and he was so frustrated with me for the first 30 seconds because it is it's a difficult balance, right?
Well, like, you got to because you got to hit
the clutch, you're moving the gas. You're doing it at the same time. But, you know, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. Once you get past that first 10 or 15 minutes of not knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Your old hat.
Could you
man.
Still do it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've had several sticks since then.
In fact, you know?
I got a Jeep when I was in my 30s.
Yeah?
Maybe right before you and I started this radio program.
Wow, kind of a...
A Jeep Wrangler.
Third life
and
crisis.
I purposely got it to be a stick shift because they were so much fun to goof around with.
Really?
Yeah.
Never driven a stick shift in my life.
What?
Never.
Buddy, you're going to Europe, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's pretty much all they have over there.
Trust me. I will not be driving.
Yeah, and in England, they drive on the wrong side of the road.
And they got the steering wheel.
With the wheels being on the right side of the road here.
Well, you know, here you got a car. And they put the steering wheel as far away from the middle of the car as they possibly can.
Yeah.
It's wrong what they've done.
So you believe the wheel...
should be in the middle.
Now, let me ask you this. So, how does that work when you're taking a girl out on a date?
She's mighty
close. Which side does she get on?
Whichever side she wants,
Michael. And you have three people sitting up front, like one on each side of you?
Well, I'm not into that.
No, I don't mean just a girl. I just mean if we're all going to the movies.
Well, they do have back seats. They do have back seats in cars.
Well, so then you're going to be in the middle of the car driving PJ and I in the back seat.
Why didn't Henry Ford or whoever the heck invented the car... why did they not put the steering wheel in the middle of the car? That's where you're equidistant from the two bumpers. We'd all be better drivers if the steering wheel was in the middle of the car.
I don't know. I would certainly be a better driver. I don't know that I agree with you.
I'm telling you.
But Elon Musk, who is the, you know, the world's richest man, the inventor of Tesla,
yeah.
He has created a semi tractor trailer
yes.
that's battery operated.
Yes.
And they put the steering wheel
in the middle of the car. It's a truck. Whatever it is, that's where the steering wheel should have been. We made this mistake 100 and some years ago, 120 years, 130 years ago, whenever it was. And we've never corrected it. And to this day, we have all these traffic accidents.
But it would be awkward, right?
People running into the side of their garage.
How would you bump into the middle? You'd have to, like, bounce into the middle of your car to get to the middle of the steering wheel?
Well, let me submit that if you can't move your fat bottom to the middle of the car, perhaps you should not be driving a motor vehicle.
All right. But you get what I'm saying. You got to, like, hop into the middle and then... I don't know. I would think it would be awkward if the steering wheel was in the middle of the car, because then where does everybody sit?
Wherever they want.
Okay. And so the only thing that matters
in the car is who's driving.
If you drive me home this evening and the car's steering wheel's in the middle of the car,
yeah.
Do I get in the back and you're like my chauffeur?
Yeah,
you're like Jeeves and you're driving me around?
Yeah, you're like Miss Daisy back
there. Uh-huh, I am Miss Daisy. Uh-huh. And then, okay, so what happens if you and George Han get in the car?
She comes right up next to me.
So she gets nice and tight.
Nibbles on my little ear while I'm driving the car down the road there.
Wow.
Staying in the middle of the lane because my steering wheel's in the middle of the car.
But don't you think this has been contemplated? Like, so many people have tried
gimmicking
things.
Apparently
I think they have. I think it would be really weird if they suddenly put steering wheels in the middle of the car. It really does make sense that they put them on the
left. Just because it's always been done a certain way doesn't mean it's the best way, is all I'm saying. Well, and what I'm saying, knowing geography... as I do, or geometry is what I'm trying to say. Knowing geometry as I do, if the wheel's in the middle and you're supposed to be driving down the middle of the lane and you're equidistant from the two bumpers when you're backing up and pulling in, it would be a much easier driving experience.
Do you think you would be a better driver if your steering wheel, because you're a bad driver.
I'm a bad driver.
Yeah. Would you be a better driver if the steering wheel was in the middle?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think you'd have troubles with
no.
any of the issues you have with parking or people, I don't know, to your left or right?
Let me just draw your attention to my snooker playing.
Oh, boy.
Where you get square on the cue ball and you direct that cue ball into the pocket it's supposed to go. I do a pretty good job with that. Why? Because my face, my eyes, my stick is all in the middle of the cue ball. I rest my case. My case is rested.
That is John Hancock.
Thought we were going to talk about
Kelly.
Car washes.
We're going to step aside here. We're going to let you hear the news with Maria Kina. Then you're going to want to stick around because every Monday evening at 9:05, we do a whole segment with Maria Kina, and we've
there may not be a finer person on this planet than Maria Kina.
Definitely no finer person in the newsroom this time of night than Maria Kina. Hancock Kelly late night after this.
See you.